this morning. Are you ready to go? You know, that's the theme we've been talking about. And what does it mean to go and make disciples? It means that we are ready to take the initiative and we are willing to be obedient when God shows us a person or a people that he wants us to reach out to. Go means that we are able to overcome the resistances that are in our heart that would keep us from bridging to people who are different than ourselves. To go means that we recognize that there are multitudes of people who have no Christian witness around them, and that if the church doesn't cross over to where they're at, they will not have an opportunity to know Christ. So we've been encouraged through the scriptures to go. And the last session here ties in with what Alyssa just shared that she was learning about going through hospitality. Let me see. Okay. So let me tell you some stories. This is my friend Tayu on the left here. She came to Columbus, Ohio from Taiwan. In fact, I was just talking with her on the phone this week. She came here as a strong Buddhist. You know, one of the things, a lot of you are working with Chinese students who have no religious background, but we deal with a lot of people who are coming from other worldviews. I think some of you are starting to do an intro to world religions class. Is that right? So as a Buddhist, she did not have much contact with Christians in Taiwan. In fact, her major in Taiwan was Buddhist philosophy. But when she came to Columbus, she was met at the airport by a Christian family who welcomed her into their home. And there in the home, as she sat down for her first meal with that family, they joined hands around the table and prayed, as is the custom of most families before they eat. But the man who was praying, he not only thanked God for the food, but he began to pray for Tayu. And he was very sensitive in his prayer, recognizing what some of the challenges are that international students face when they come to the United States. He prayed that she'd be able to make friends. He prayed for her family that was back home, that God would watch between them while they were apart. He prayed that she'd be able to make her culture adjustment and be able to be successful in her studies. He just prayed for her very specifically about her needs and her life situation. And Tayu said she had never heard anyone pray to God before, personally, like that. And that something stirred in her heart in that first meal in that home. And she thought, I would like to know more about that God that he is praying to. And she followed through on that after her stay in that home where she experienced the love of that family. She left that home and looked for a Bible study group to join. And she found one. And through the study of the scriptures, within her first year in the United States, she came to Christ. And she then grew in Christ and gained a vision. She was a PhD student in education. And when she graduated, she could have gone into a teaching position at a university. But instead, she decided she wanted to use those gifts and ability in some other way to further the gospel. She could have done that as an educator. I mean, God is looking for Christian educators to influence students. But she took a much more humble position. She is working in a Christian outreach that supplies literature to mainland China. And she works very hard at that. And through that, many people have been reached for Christ. But it was hospitality. It was that opening to go into those people's homes where she was received and shared with and prayed for that opened the door to her heart. Hospitality is a key that opens the door to be able to share with people cross-culturally. Let me share with you another story. The man in the middle is named Abdul. Abdul came to study from the country of Afghanistan. And if you followed at all in the news, you realize that Afghanistan has been a very troubled place with wars and all sorts of upheaval. He came during a time of his country's upheaval. And when he came to studying in the United States, he experienced what many international students experience, which is loneliness. He had been in a very high position in his country. He had to leave his family there. Some students are not able to come with their families. So he missed his wife and children, and he found that his normal routine was to go to the university, to study hard. He came back home. He prepared his own food, which he had never done before. His wife had always cooked, and as a Muslim Afghan man, cooking was not on the agenda for him. So he didn't eat very well. He ate simple food, and he spent time alone in his room listening to broadcasts about his country, but had no one to talk to. And so when he received the opportunity through our ministry to meet a family that would welcome him to their home, he was so excited. Although the family said this to him, they said, "We'd like to invite you to our home on Sunday, and we go to church on Sunday morning, and we'd like to have you join us and then come home for lunch afterwards." Now, this presented a conflict for Abdul because he had no interest in going to church. You know, in Afghanistan, 99.9% of the people are Muslims. There is no open church in Afghanistan. There was one church once. It was for foreigners that was built in Kabul. And the church was allowed for the purpose of allowing foreigners in Afghanistan to go and worship. But then the government heard that there was an underground church in Afghanistan. So they decided to knock down the church in order to dig underneath to find where the underground church was. This is a true story. And so they kept digging underneath, saying, "Where is that underground church that we hear is in Afghanistan?" So that was the end of that church building. They never did find that underground church. And there is an underground church, but there's few believers in Afghanistan. So he was in a dilemma. I really want to go and meet American friends, but I really don't want to go to church. But his desire to make an American friend outweighed his concern about going to church. So he said, "I'll go to church. I hope the lunch is good." And it was indeed, because this family not only had him over for a meal, but they spent the whole afternoon together just talking. They asked about his family. They took out the map of Afghanistan, and he showed them where he was from. And he just was able to share with them a lot of things that were important to him out of his life. And they listened, and they shared about their family and their life. And it was the best afternoon that he had had in the United States, he told me. And so when the family said, "Would you like to do this again next week?" he thought, "I'll go to church every week if I get to go to that family's home afterwards." And that's what happened. It became their pattern. Every week, Abdul would go to church, and then he'd go home for the whole afternoon with his family. It was the thing he looked forward to most all week. He said that eventually he started listening when he went to the church. And he started hearing things that he'd never heard before about Jesus Christ. Things that were surprising and shocking to him. But as he listened to those messages, and Abdul also joined my Bible discussion group, and he was learning about Jesus. Abdul had never met an Afghan Christian in his life. But as he read the story of Jesus, his heart was drawn, and Abdul made the decision, "I would like to become a follower of Jesus Christ." Now, Abdul, when he was in his country, the role that he played before he came was to be a translator for the diplomats who came to Afghanistan. And when he became a Christian, he wanted to read the Bible in his own language, which is Dari. And you know, again, we have had the booth that talked about the Wycliffe Bible translators. The translation that he read in Dari was translated by a non-native speaking Dari person, which is often necessary when we do translation, but he discovered that the translation was kind of rough, difficult to read, wasn't smooth. And so God put it in his heart that he should translate again the New Testament into his language, which he successfully did with the help of God. And then he began to work with the Far East Broadcasting Company to make language broadcasts so that the people in his country could hear messages from the Bible in the Dari language. God used Abdul in a very powerful way, but the key that opened the door to the gospel going into Abdul's heart was the practice of hospitality. Another friend, her name is Titi. She is actually an intern this year with IFI. She's being trained for a lifetime of service. When she came to Columbus, she was also met by a Christian family who invited her into their home. And while she was there and enjoying the time together, they invited her to a Christian concert. And she went, and during that time, the music and the worship of God moved her heart so that at the end, when an invitation was given for those people who would like to receive Christ, she responded. And the next week, she came to my Bible study group. And we were giving our introductions about ourselves, and her introduction was, "My name is Titi, and I think I may have become a Christian." And afterwards, I asked her about this. What did you mean by that? She said, "Well, I'm not sure I followed all the right procedures. Like, I don't know really how do you become a Christian." I said, "Well, what happened? And did you repent from your sins?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "And did you believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "And did you decide you wanted to follow Jesus?" She said, "Yes." I said, "You did it. You've become a Christian." So she was glad to know she'd become a Christian. And she started growing in her faith, and now she's serving God. But again, it was hospitality that opened the door to her heart. You know, this is a man, hope I'm on the right, yeah, Billy Kim. Billy Kim became one of the greatest evangelists in Korea. He was the person who was the translator during the Billy Graham Crusade when there were over a million people in Korea came to hear Billy Graham, and thousands, I think over 20,000 people became Christian during this crusade, and Billy Kim was the translator. But the way that Billy Kim came to Christ was he came as an international student to the United States, and he was welcomed. There was a man who took a particular interest in him after the Korean War, and this soldier in Korea saw some potential in Billy Kim as a teenager and said, "You know, I want to sponsor you to come for an education in the United States." And he paid for Billy Kim to come as a high school international student. And when Billy Kim came, he stayed in this man's home. And then when he was in North Carolina, he was received by Christians. And then he became a Christian, though he came from a Buddhist background. And God gave him a vision to go back to Korea to make an impact on his people. This is someone I don't think is necessarily a Christian. At least if he is, he's quiet about his faith. But this is the current General Secretary of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon. And you know, when Ban Ki-moon came to the United States, he was hosted by this woman in the 1980s. And this was a time in his life, it was a formation period of his life. And this woman became very important to encouraging him in his life vision and goals. And hospitality had an impact. So this picture was taken in 2015 when Ban Ki-moon came back to the United States to receive an award. He took the time to go back to this woman's home and say thank you to her again for the experience that he had when he was in the United States. Hospitality is a powerful means by which we can impact the lives of people. On my first day, I shared with you about this family that had welcomed the future president of China, Xi Jinping, into their home so that when he came back also in 2012, he took the time to go and visit this family because they had been so important to them. The scripture tells us, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. So let me encourage you. You are, I think most if not all of you who are here at Rosedale are single now. And sometimes it's a little bit more challenging when we think about the practice of hospitality when we're single, because hospitality usually involves sharing a food. I was interested that in the stories that were told that many of them involved going to eat Chinese food at a restaurant and sharing food in that way. And, you know, that's a way that you can do it. But let me share with you some key facts or key aspects of hospitality. And I want you to think about You know, maybe some of you have been trained already in your homes, and that is a really great thing if you already have this. But I think about, you know, all the different things that you can do in missions, and you can study methodologies, and you can study about contextualization, and you can study all difficult things that are engaged, and they are important things. But I think at the most basic level, if we learn to practice biblical hospitality, this will be the key to going. And I say going because, interestingly, in the Bible, this word going is used in connection to hospitality. For example, Jesus said in Luke 19, when he saw Zacchaeus in the tree, "Zacchaeus, I must go to your house today." And that meant going to eat. And that's a good way of practicing hospitality, too, is inviting yourself to someone's house for dinner. If you don't want to be the cook, you say, "I'm coming to your house for dinner today." Actually, in some cultures of the world, that is really an honor. If you are willing to go and eat in someone's home, it means you show that you think they're important and they are worthy, and so they consider it an honor. And it's really a good cultural thing. But then also, and that's a pattern. 1 Kings 17 is one of the stories of hospitality about Elijah, where God tells Elijah, "Go to Zarephath and go to the home of this widow who is going to provide for you." So there's a going aspect where we either go or we invite. You know, the come to my home, but go to the nations. It's kind of an interesting combination of the go and come all in one picture. So let me describe to you a little bit about hospitality. And first of all, we need to understand that if we're going to practice hospitality, that it does not simply mean inviting your friends over or having a small group in your home or cooking for anyone. It means that you have an attitude that you want to welcome people from other cultures. Because in Hebrews 13:2, when it says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers," we need to understand who strangers are. Strangers are not people who look weird, or strangers are not people down the block who we don't know. But strangers biblically have to do with people who move from one culture to another. Now, why do I say that? How do we get that connection? In the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were four words that are translated as stranger. And these four Hebrew words are technical words that refer all to people who move from one culture to another. Some of the words are translated, these Hebrew words are translated either as alien, foreigner, sojourner, stranger, or I like the word international. And the technicality between these are whether or not you're temporarily staying in a country or in a new location, whether you're just passing through, or whether you're permanently going to live there. And we still use some of these words in English to describe the difference between a sojourner is someone who's temporarily staying, where an alien is someone who's more permanently staying in the country. The New Testament word for stranger is the word xenos, which is equivalent to the Old Testament words. Now, Jesus did expand this word to include pretty much any outsider, those that are marginalized, those that are not usually included on the inside. But certainly, those who are moving from one culture to another culture are outsiders in that way. So when God is calling us to practice hospitality, it's with a specific intention to reach out to those who are beyond the normal insider group that we're a part of. And this means, this understanding means that if we are called to practice hospitality, God is calling us to specifically be people who are keen to welcome internationals, welcome people from other cultures into our life. The characteristics of hospitality are, first of all, a warm welcome. That warmth that we tell a person they are valuable enough that we want to spend time with them, that we are eager to do it, like I talked about with Philip yesterday. The people in the Bible who are shown as examples to us to hospitality, like Abraham, when the visitors came to his home, he leapt to his feet. He said, "Oh, please come into my home. I really want you." He wanted to urge them to come into his home. It wasn't something that was done begrudgingly. In fact, one of the verses on hospitality says, "Practice hospitality without complaining." A complaining heart does not convey the welcome. Because in hospitality, we are picturing the gospel. Because God is the great host of heaven, who is inviting us to his home, where we get to eat with him forever. That is the picture of the gospel for us. And so whenever we practice hospitality, we're picturing the gospel, and God is eagerly welcoming us to him. You know, the story of the prodigal son, when we see the son returning home as a picture of repentance and being welcomed by the Father, that's a picture of the gospel. And what does the Father do? He celebrates and he prepares this meal to welcome his son home. So we picture the gospel through a warm welcome. And then it's sharing food and drink together. Hospitality is really linked to this picture of the messianic banquet and of the time that we get to eat in the house of God. And so food and drink are part of that experience. And, you know, it doesn't have to be an elaborate meal. You know, God is preparing an elaborate meal for us, but sharing what we have. Now, this is where, let me encourage you guys who may not be trained in cooking to realize that this is for all of us. This is not just for women to cook. Especially if you're a single guy and you get into a situation, you can, as a skill, learn to cook one or two meals. You can pick out, like, your specialty. You know, macaroni and cheese. Spaghetti. Something that you can say, I can do this. And when I can be ready, when I want to welcome someone, I know I can prepare this meal. And just always be ready to cook that meal. Of course, the fourth time they're coming over and you're giving them spaghetti again, probably you might want to have two or three meals like you could do that with. But sharing food. Now you say, okay, can we go out to a restaurant? You can go out to a restaurant. But there's something about bringing someone into your home and sharing food with them that I think is more personal and provides an atmosphere of sharing in a different way. So I just encourage that. And then the third part about hospitality is that it sets the stage for sharing from the heart. In Genesis 18, which is the story of Abraham welcoming the three visitors, the significant conversation did not occur while they were eating. In many cultures of the world, you don't talk a lot while you're eating. It's after you're done eating and you're having that time around the table or afterwards in the living room that the heart opens up. And, you know, God spoke to Abraham after the meal and said, I want to share out of my heart with Abraham what I'm about to do. I can tell you there's just so many significant conversations that I've had that have been through those extended times after the meal of just sitting and being with one another. If you can do these three things and learn how to do them, welcome people into your presence with warmth, if you can share food and drink together, and if you can be a good listener and listen to people's life stories, listen to what's on their heart, and then share with them the things of God, there will be a very powerful impact that you can have in going. I'm sorry, can you remind me, what time do I have until? Oh. Okay. What should I share to conclude? Let me look here. Okay, I'll share one other point here. Okay, this one. Okay. You know, as you're in Bible school and you're learning how to be disciples of Jesus, I want you to realize that hospitality and discipleship go together. Jesus' method of discipleship was to invest deeply into the lives of his followers. And the way that he did that was by eating with them. If you study the life of Jesus, one of the things that Luke tells us about the methodology of Jesus' discipleship was that his methodology was to eat and drink. It says in Luke 7, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. If you go through the Gospel of Luke, the whole Gospel of Luke centers around either Jesus going to a meal, at a meal, or leaving a meal. Many of the significant teachings that Jesus gave were at a meal. Many of the things that he demonstrated were at a meal or after a meal. The Son of God, who came to demonstrate to us how to live our lives, seemed to show us that he loved eating with people. In fact, he ate so much with people that the Pharisees said, he is a glutton and a drunkard. And I don't believe that was a characteristic of Jesus, but compared to them, he was excessive in who he ate with, in extending the grace of God to people they would have never eaten with. And so the kingdom of God was demonstrated in the way that Jesus ate and drank. So I'm encouraging you, when you think about going, would you think about going by opening your home, by opening your life to internationals? Would you live that as a lifestyle wherever you go? It doesn't have to be so complicated. You can do this. Jesus calls us, all of us as Christians, to be hospitable. If you would make that as a commitment and a decision in your life, God will bless you and he will bless the nations. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your word that challenges us and illustrates for us how you want us to live like you did, Jesus. And I pray that at this end of this missions conference, Lord, that everyone here will make a decision to be a goer. I'm going to give you some invitations here that you can respond to before God just as a way of indicating to God your heart and what you want. And the first decision is to say to God, I am willing to go to whomever and wherever you want me to. This is just an availability question. And, you know, we need to come to that place in obedience of surrender to say, I'm willing to go. And that willingness means that there will be no restrictions. You know, there was one place in this world I did not want to go. And God had to help me to overcome that resistance. If God calls you to the city, if he calls you to another country, if you are willing to say, Lord, I am here, you can send me. That is a posture of a servant. If you are willing and with honesty are able to say to God, God, I am willing to go where you will send me. Would you lift your hand to the Lord as an indication of your availability? Those of you who are not there yet, would you say, God, I want to get there. I want to be surrendered to you. Help me to not be afraid of saying yes to you. Lord, show me what the barriers are and work on me in those areas. And then a second invitation for you. If you can say that God is showing you another step in this process of going, maybe through one of the talks or through talking to one of the people at the agencies that are represented here, if God is showing you a step to take, could be to go on a short-term trip or to be a conversation partner, it could be to do an internship, it could be to study something, whatever it is, if you believe that God has spoken to you specifically and you're going to say, yes, I'm going to take that step, could you raise your hand to the Lord? I just want to see how many of you feel like God has given you something specific that you could do. Could you raise your hand? Okay. Lord, I pray for those that are raising their hands that you would give them the strength and courage to follow through now, that they would share that with someone in accountability. They would mark it down, and they would experience your strength to be able to fulfill this calling, this next step that you've placed on their life. Lord, I thank you for these brothers and sisters. Now, Lord, I pray as a result of this week that your kingdom would come among the nations, that we would move closer to the fulfillment of your commission to see disciples in all nations. Use it in our lives and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. By the way, maybe not this year even, but maybe in a couple years, you might remember these talks, and it might come back to you, and you say, now, who was that guy that was talking to us about international student? I'd like to get back in touch. So I'm going to give you my name card. Some of you I gave my name card to. If not, just put this someplace where in the future that if God puts it on your heart that you want to reconnect with international student ministry, that you can be in touch with me, and I'd be glad to. It was great to be with you this week, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Rich.